98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Doug and Wolf's Rush Hour Reboot. Getting you up to speed on everything happening in sports this morning. Rush Hour Reboot.
Pretty cool what we have coming up for you. Jay Williams, 8:30, NBA Draft Insider for ESPN, and James Jones at 9 o'clock, the Suns general manager, in the first conversation he has on radio about why Jalen Smith is the guy. Now it's time for your Rush Hour Reboot with the producer of the Doug and Wolf Show, Aaron Maloney.
So for the second year in a row, the Phoenix Suns surprised with their draft pick.
With the 10th pick in the 2020 NBA Draft, the Phoenix Suns select Jalen Smith from the University of Maryland.
You know what you really miss? Yeah, I was going to say, what you really miss is the reaction of the crowd. When you hear the crowd go, whoa, you know, like that. And you're just waiting for that in that highlight, and then you realize, it's an S-studio.
My first thought was, we got Chris Paul. I know how ridiculous it is to say that, but my expectations for the Suns have nothing to do with developing a first-round pick or playing a first-round draft pick from one of the most benign drafts the league has ever known. Right, I'm just telling you right now. It has nothing to do with that. We got Chris Paul.
For me, it was the Hawks draft Okongwu at 6. And I'm thinking, yeah! Because that guarantees Hayes, Denny, or Halliburton or Obi for the Suns. One of those are going to be there at 10. And one was. And the Suns didn't draft him. And Sacramento, for a lot of people don't know this, Sacramento set a world record for getting their pick in. In order to, what? Halliburton is still here at 12? And ran up there. Tyrese Halliburton's a better basketball player, but Jalen Smith is a great fit. But I think it was a mistake. They should have drafted Halliburton.
The Suns GM also spoke last night, and he discussed the addition of Chris Paul and what he'll bring to Phoenix.
We knew that we were getting exactly what you've seen over the last 2 days. A Hall of Famer, an all-star, a leader, a winner, a guy that lives and breathes basketball 24/7. And that's the type of leader and personality that we need. You know, those are the traits that we want all of our guys to embody. And so it's big for us, not just because of Chris's name, but because of his game. We know that we'll get a guy that's here early, leaves late, and will never let his teammates quit.
So they have Paul. They have Smith. What's next? What more do you want to see the Suns do? I think free agency starts tomorrow, so what more do you want to see them do?
You know what I want? I want Dario Saric. I want Dario Saric back on this team. I'd love to see that. What else could they possibly do? They've got the mid-level exception, right? They've got that they could use. What's that word? 9.8 or 9.3 somewhere? I think it's 9.3.
Depending on where you are in the cap.
As a matter of fact, right? Yeah, I'd like to see them go out and get a power forward, maybe a guy they could bring in here that is going to be a pro and go about his business. But right now, the great thing about it is, man, the arrow is pointing up on the Phoenix Suns in a big, big way.
I like Gallinari and Grant, but are they going to get them? No. But that's not what you asked. The question is, who do you want? I would love to drop them and have some wing shooting and slasher to the outside, but I don't think they're going to make that big of a splash in free agency. I think they're looking at their team right now saying, we did the heavy lifting.
The Cardinals have a huge Thursday night matchup against the Seahawks tonight. So what happens to Kyler Murray's MVP chances if they win or if they lose? Here's Keyshawn Johnson from Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin yesterday.
If he loses, forget it. If he wins, now you start to look at it and go, okay, we understand Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers is there, but this guy is doing something magical and special that's catching our attention.
How big is this game for Kyler's MVP chances?
I honestly hope he's not even thinking about his MVP chances. He says he's not. I don't care about his MVP chances either. I really don't. But I will tell you right now, he is doing something. He's on pace to do something that no other human being in the history of the National Football League has ever done. Throw for over 4,000 yards and rush for over 1,000 yards. He's on pace to do that right now. If the Arizona Cardinals continue to win games, if they can somehow get to 11 wins on the season, he's going to win MVP. If, in fact, he breaks that record, because that's exactly the kind of thing they love to give MVPs.
If he plays average, it'll be all right. As long as he doesn't have a three-pick night or something, I think this game, as far as his MVP, matters more because of flexing. If they win this game and he just plays average, that's still huge for his MVP race. Because what's going to happen is there's going to be more Sunday night games the rest of the way. And if he plays well on primetime television, tonight included,
yep,
sadly, that's how you win MVPs. I don't think there's a lot of people that really do their jobs very well when they vote for these things. And therefore, they see primetime. And if he's making big plays on primetime, that's how you win MVP.
Well, that's one of the reasons why I continue to say no other human being is on pace to do what he's doing. That is going to be huge with a lot of the voters.
But looking more at tonight's quarterback matchup, Russell Wilson versus Kyler Murray. Here's Dominique Foxworth on ESPN.
So hard to imagine that anybody can be better than Russell Wilson. He's been so great for his entire career, winning Super Bowls, going to Super Bowls, really carrying his team in recent years. But Kyler's already that guy. I feel like those Seahawks teams, they would have been really, really good without Russell Wilson, but they become Super Bowl champions with Russell Wilson. You take right, Kyler off of this team, they're the bottom of the division.
Your thoughts on that?
No, they're not. They're better than the injured San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah.
So I don't believe that. Yes, Kyler is that incredible, but they still have the offensive weapons. Do they need Kyler? Yes. 100%. But I don't agree they would be at the bottom of the division, but I do think Kyler right now is playing better than Russell Wilson by far, and I would rather have Russell Wilson as my starting quarterback. Or excuse me, I'd rather have Kyler Murray as my starting quarterback tonight.
I don't think I can improve on anything Doug Lee said.
According
unfortunately.
To NFL Network's Ian Rappaport, free agent defensive tackle Domata Peko worked out for the Arizona Cardinals. He's made 189 starts in 208 games played and recorded 600 total tackles and 20 sacks in his career.
Sign him.
So how would you feel about this, Ron Wolfley?
I'm just telling you right now, go out. If I've got anybody that is walking around the street, and I don't care if his gut's hanging over his belt. I don't care if he's a butt gut.
You?
I don't care what is going on right now. If you've got a guy that has... You said over 100 games of NFL experience.
Yeah. He's been a Raven.
I don't care if he's been out for a year or two. I'm going to bring him in and see if he's got anything left in the tank, because right now it is dire straits in that defensive line room.
I agree with Wolf, and I also add to it simply, I think we always know this. There's a reason why he's out there. So let's not act like he's the savior or everything's going to be great. But as
nobody
banged
is.
Up as you are, and you're not allowed to steal players from other teams, so what are you going to do? He fills a need. He's a professional. Absolutely go get him. Absolutely.
Grizzlies point guard Ja Morant now has a baby giraffe named after him.
What?
It's been announced that a baby giraffe at the Memphis Zoo, born on November 10th, will be named Ja Raff. If you were to name your animal after an athlete, who would it be? What would the name be?
Oh, my goodness. You wait, could you give me a heads up on this one?
How about if we have one of these at the Phoenix Zoo? And I haven't been to the Phoenix Zoo since like 2009. Sorry, Zoo.
No.
But if they have one, how about from Australia, a Kyleroo?
That was good, Doug.
Just knock it off. You did not just come up. You told him.
No,
told him.
She did not tell me that. I just thought of that.
All right. I'm not going to say anything because I'm not going to be able to best that one. Just be quiet here. Mum's the word, basically.
So then I'm going to come back with this.
Oh, no.
At 9:15.
All right.
And I need your name. Wolf?
I mean,
it's either the name or the prediction, what you want to do.
So basically, you're just saying, if I was going to, I would never do this.
Name
though.
An animal never, after a professional athlete.
I would never
athlete.
Name one of my pets after a professional athlete.
Any animal.
Any animal, then. Yeah. It doesn't have to be your
pet. Because it's a zoo. Because it's not like John Morant has a new pet giraffe walking around Memphis or something.
What if the Dallas Zoo had a new chimpanzee?
You know what? Come back to me at 9:15.
Right. Tweet is your answer to Maloney's question, too, at DuganWolf987. The professional athlete and the animal that you're naming for any zoo or any pet. We've got Jay Williams, co-host of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, coming up in 15 minutes. It is an NBA draft insider. We've got James Jones on our exclusive conversation with the general manager coming up at 9. Next, Kyler versus the sequel with Wolf on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Is it caught? Is it caught? Oh, my goodness, it's caught. DeAndre Hopkins caught it.
After the most exciting finish in Arizona Cardinals history, things aren't slowing down yet. Kyler Murray.
He's going to keep it off the left side. He's at the 10, half the 5.
Versus Russell Wilson.
As time steps up now and takes off.
It's going to be a huge challenge, huge division game.
And first place in the NFC West is on the line.
Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide.
In prime time. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Doug and Wolf talk Cardinals Seahawks Thursday night football now.
Jacked up to talk draft with Jay Williams coming up in 15 minutes and James Jones, Suns general manager, coming up in 45 minutes. But we've also got a lot to talk about with Cardinals Seahawks tonight. Kickoff 6:20. As you can imagine, you can hear it right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Earlier this morning, Wolf was talking about Bill Bates and how it created something completely different in the special teams era. And then there was that day here in the Action Community Studios when, according to other people, which I still don't understand, Kyler Murray measured 5'10".
And an eighth.
And now we're at the point where Ryan Clark even said yesterday,
Kyler Murray has been so good through this first year and a half that I forgot he was short. Like, I don't even think about it anymore. Like, when I see him, I'm like, nah, this dude, he's at least my height.
So now.
What did he say? He's at least what?
He's at least my height.
Okay.
So now that we have Kyler and maybe the person that allowed him to be drafted, yep, Russell Wilson, it brings up, what will Wolf watch?
What will Wolf watch?
Kyler Murray versus the sequel.
Oh, what did you do right there, Mitch? I get it. Cinematic. Why, Basinonians, are sequels never as good as the originals? We see the same faces, hear the same names, often in the same paradigm, and we leave the theater shaking our heads. What did we expect? We love those faces, names, and paradigm. It's why we went back for more. But we typically leave shaking our heads, questioning our judgment while making a personal vow under moon, sun, and sky never to go to a sequel again. They're never as good as the original. I don't think that will be the case for a grateful nation as they absorb the goodness of Thursday Night Football, where Kyler Murray squares off against his NFL comp, Russell Wilson, in what should be a showdown and a shootout at CenturyLink. Toy Story 2 is often cited as a movie that was just as good as the original. Really? Although it wasn't bad by any stretch of the chains, to say it was as good as the original Toy Story is to admit you never watched Toy Story. There'll be millions of people that will watch Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson go throw to throw in the Arizona Cardinals versus Seattle Seahawks sequel of 2020. Game one was so good to miss, right? Too good to miss. And Sunday Night Football provided the perfect venue to a growing feud. 12.3 million people tuned in to watch Kyler and his comp square off in a winner-take-all overtime game on the banks of the Red Sea. Spider-Man 2 was a fantastic sequel, and not just because of the train battle scene against Doc Ock. It was because we got to know Peter Parker better, just like the nation will get to see and know the mighty Kyler Murray a little bit better when he continues to do superhero things in a superhero way. The Mighty is on pace to do something no other human being has ever done: throw for over 4,000 yards and rush for over 1,000 yards in the National Football League. The Seahawks defense is a shell of its former Legion of Boom self. Their secondary has missed a ton of man games, and Jamal Adams is still finding his way into the doom. Watching the secondary is like watching Evil Dead 2. The same cycle repeats itself. People die, people turn into zombies, people try to eat other people. Well, quarterbacks throw, quarterbacks complete passes, quarterbacks throw for touchdowns. Kyler Murray may not suddenly turn into Ash Williams of the Evil Dead franchise, but he continues to prove why he is on track to become a franchise quarterback and take the NFL by storm. Did we mention Russell Wilson is also playing in this game? Like Godfather 2, the original protagonist knockoff took center stage. Russell Wilson was the comp for Kyler Murray. Kyler was the knockoff of an all-pro quarterback that has a Super Bowl ring. Michael Corleone took over the family when Vito Corleone passed, and Michael ran the family better than Vito. And don't think Vito Corleone, Russell Wilson doesn't know this. Russ knows people are whispering in the corners of scouting departments, speaking in hushed tones on the sidelines, pointing and intimating that Russell Wilson's better has come. It's one of the reasons why Russell was a little defensive this week after losing two straight games. Let Russ cook has taken on a whole new meaning, and the kitchen is getting a little toasty in the Emerald City. Russ has talked about himself more than Donkey in Shrek 2, but Donkey had a very good reason to speak of himself in the terms that he did, not Russ. Wilson was the favorite to win the MVP just a few weeks ago, and now, after throwing picks like Shrek through witches, he appears to be reminding everybody of just how good he is. All the world is a stage, and tomorrow night is going to be good. Not as good as Heath Ledger in The Dark Knight, the sequel to Batman Begins, but good nonetheless. And with all the problems Russell has had, the quarterback that wins this game will temporarily secure the label of best quarterback in the NFC West. But the quarterback that lights the national spotlight lamp and wins the game may hear chants of MVP, MVP, MVP. We'll let that hang.
That was terrible.
So good.
What are you gonna
say about the post? The Postmaster General, ladies and gentlemen, broadcasting on a weekday basis.
If I'm not mistaken, did you? And I could have missed some. I counted five sequel references.
Of course.
I don't know if there's more.
I think you're right on
okay.
that, Douglas.
And yet you didn't mention the greatest of all time.
Which is?
Oh, come on. Empire Strikes Back.
The Empire. Yeah, I didn't go there.
That has nothing to do with Star. There. I mean, it's just, come on.
Can I tell you what happened right there, Douglas? I went ahead and I Googled sequels, best sequels.
Did you?
And the top 10 that came up, think about it. This is it right here. Toy Story 2. Number one.
No way.
Yes, yes.
That's flawed list.
Think about that. Okay.
Flawed list.
Godfather Part 2, number two. Spider-Man 2. And then Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans. I have no idea.
Oh,
who is that?
I don't know.
Yeah, okay. I had no idea. Number five.
I am not Dave Burns, though.
Number five, Basinonians, Evil Dead 2. Okay, Evil Dead. Mm-hmm. Number five. Number six, Shrek 2, ladies and gentlemen. Number seven, The Dark Knight. Dark Knight.
Heath Ledger was unbelievable.
Number eight, 1935, The Bride of Frankenstein. I love that one. I was like, yes, I remember that. She is alive.
I got it. It is still not that I don't blame you then, but whoever made that list,
yes.
to not have Empire, no matter how you feel okay. about Star Wars, to not have Empire Strikes Back is a mistake.
I got two more I want to read you. Hellboy number 2. That's number 9.
I never saw the Hellboys.
And then number 10, The Road Warrior, 1981, the sequel to Mad Max.
Yeah, yeah.
I was shocked there was no – I was shocked as
that,
well.
It's a mistake to not have Empire Strikes Back. I mean, that was – remember, if you're not a Star Wars guy, you don't know Vader's Luke's father. That's when you find out. And it justified all the money and it created –
All right, that's enough. Just save yourself
the whole
and
thing,
your family.
If you hate Star Wars, blame Empire Strikes
you
Back.
You got kids right now that are listening.
If that movie would have tanked, guess what? The whole thing is over. You'd never hear another Star Wars.
Your parents are crying.
Coming up next, Jay Williams on Jalen Smith. On 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to be the guy with a voice box just doing that right there. Wouldn't that be cool? Richie, Sambora. I don't know. Can't be that hard to do, right? A voice box?
If you're in your 40s, you'll understand this. If you're in your 20s, you won't. You know, I mean, if you're 20s, you might love the song, but you won't understand this. I'll never forget the first time I heard Bon Jovi on a classic rock station. It was like one of those moments like, wait a minute, what? Are we at that point where this... Yeah, we are. All right. It was just... Not something you think of music you grew up with becoming classic rock.
Yeah, I'm not a big John Bond fan, ladies and gentlemen. Respect him greatly. This is a pretty squared away individual for the most part for a guy that has been as famous as he has. Pretty squared away dude.
I respect him for that. Wasn't this the song that he sang with Bill Belichick at a charity event? I haven't seen that video in about 10 years, but I remember this viral video that snuck out and then became viral of Belichick on stage at a charitable event actually singing with Bon Jovi.
Okay, you're going to have to get me that for me to believe that actually happened.
Pretty sure. Full disclosure, we're supposed to have Jay Williams right here in this beautiful part of the program. And I looked up, and he's on television.
Yes.
So I'm pretty confident that Jay Williams will not be joining us in this beautiful part of the program because for some strange reason, he allowed ESPN to dictate his schedule more than the Doug and Wolf show.
Right. Well, they are paying him.
Which I would say that's their bad because, hey, it's Doug and Wolf. James Jones still scheduled to come on at 9 o'clock, and then we'll do whatever we can to get Jay Will either in a minute or two or – just try to have him at 8:45 if possible.
Just think, he's thinking to himself right now, Jay Will, I need to be on Doug and Wolf. What are you doing?
What is Stephen A. Smith going to
do? Why are you keeping me here? Actually, he doesn't have a furrowed brow at all, my friends.
First Take or Doug and Wolf? I think he knows. Yes. I think he totally knows the answer to that question. Here you go, last night.
With the 10th pick in the 2020 NBA draft, the Phoenix Suns select Jalen Smith from the University of Maryland.
I like the way the commissioner said that right there. Jalen Smith, he said it so hopefully. Didn't he?
I think he said it because finally a name I'm going to get right.
Jalen Smith.
So he was.
Come on down.
He was happy about that. Jalen Smith, what do you think about coming here to be with DeAndre Ayton?
Pretty much once I got drafted by him, it was a surreal moment. I mean, everything was up in the air because of this year. You know, it wasn't a traditional draft. But, I mean, at the end of the day, Phoenix felt as though that I was the best fit for them. And I feel as though that's something I can work with and I can continue to grow with at Phoenix. But being beside DeAndre Ayton.
Let me stop this for a second. A, media.
No.
Hit mute.
Okay,
hit mute. That's how we do Zoom calls now. You've got to hit mute so you're not trashing radio sound.
What are you doing?
So thank you for that. But it's really interesting. The whole time, if you've watched any Maryland basketball, even when he was a freshman, he's always had another big on the floor with him. And we'll be talking to James Jones at 9 o'clock, and it'll be interesting to see how they plan on using Jalen Smith because of having another big on the floor and how that's going to be with Ayton. There's a chance all you did was draft a backup center that's going to be in the league for a while. He's a good basketball player, but maybe that's all you did. And with the 10th pick, you got to, I think you got to ask for more than that. But if you really liked what you saw from Aaron Baines at the beginning of the season and what he added.
So you're kind of comping him to Aaron Baines. That's the second time you've said that this morning.
I am offensively. I think Aaron Baines, I hate Aaron Baines' shot, but it goes in. but Aaron Baines is a smart offense. Yes, that's right. He's a smart offensive player. He's a good passer, and he's really good on the pick and pop. And Baines isn't much of a slasher, but if you're not paying attention, he'll, you know, once a month he'll drive the hole and it'll be all right. But I look at Jalen Smith very similarly there offensively, that he's going to do that a lot. And I think James Jones is thinking that worked well with Baines. Let's do it again in case we don't have Aaron Baines, and most people think they won't.
My biggest concern with Jalen Smith is just by reading these scouting reports once again, because I don't know who this kid is, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen him play. We are the Woo Fan Clan. We haven't seen him play, but, you know, I can read, and just reading, they say he's stiff, and that concerns me that he's stiff. And it's almost like every scouting report said that he's stiff. And then I heard James Jones say, no, he's got an athletic upside, very similar to Cam Johnson. People said the same thing about Cam Johnson coming out and the fact that the Suns, quote-unquote, reached at number 11 for Cam Johnson. They said that he was a stiff athlete as well, not an elite athlete. He's a much better athlete than people give him credit for, because we watched him. We've watched what he's done and how he's developed, especially down in the bubble, how important he was. I realize that was a small sample size, but you know what? Honestly, I hope maybe James Jones has an eye for somebody that can actually play and contribute in the league. Maybe that's his gift. Maybe it's not just looking at the athleticism of a player. Maybe it's looking at the guy's totality, his brain, his spirit, his emotion, everything. Maybe he's got a gift of recognizing talent that other people do not.
If you like the energy guy, when you're watching Maryland games, the first thing that stands out, you're watching everybody else except Jalen Smith. And then you can't help but notice the goggles. Okay, it's not part of scouting, but it's real. I mean, it's just like, wait, who's this guy? And then
hopefully he's going to wear knee pads as well.
Then you notice the energy. The guy is nonstop energy. He lives to win. He wants to win the game, and he's willing to do whatever it takes to do that.
Hello.
Yet the only word I can think of is disaster. He is a disaster as a wing defender. It's really bad.
Man.
And I think it's not because of a lack of intelligence or desire. I just don't think he's athletically gifted enough to do it. When he was asked what does he need to work on,
this is good.
He immediately went to kind of hinting that he knows.
Pretty much this whole offseason has been focusing on getting my lower body stronger and just becoming more flexible in the hips and the ankles, and just continuing on the court, just work on creating for myself, being able to score with my back to the basket and just extending my three-point range.
So when I hear Jalen Smith say that, based on earnings, I think of a corner in the National Football League, right? I think of a corner because that's what they need, hips, ankles. They need that explosiveness, right? That elasticity. They need it in the hips and the ankles. That's what makes a great corner. So when I hear that right there, same thing I think of is defense, right? On the defensive end of the floor for Jalen Smith. That's where he thinks he needs to get the improvement.
Well, coming up 9:00, we'll talk specifically to James Jones, general manager of the Phoenix Suns, about the selection of Jalen Smith. I just looked up at the television. Jay Williams is not on TV right now, so if we can get him, we'll get Jay Williams, the ESPN NBA draft insider who was part of their coverage yesterday. And if we can't get him, we got to look at what Pat P needs to do again, because he shut down DK Metcalf. He did not shut down Diggs. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
After the most exciting finish in Arizona Cardinals history, things aren't slowing down yet. Kyler Murray.
He's going to keep it off the left side. He's at the 10, half the 5.
Versus Russell Wilson.
As time steps up now and takes off.
It's going to be a huge challenge, huge division game.
And first place in the NFC West is on the line.
Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide.
In prime time. 97.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Doug and Wolf talk Cardinals Seahawks Thursday night football. Now.
Somebody else is talking Cardinals Seahawks. Paul Calvisi traveled with the team and is live from Seattle. Kickoff tonight, 6:20. Burns and Gambo have your pregame show, 2:30, getting underway right in the middle of their show today. And earlier this morning, if you didn't hear it, it was kind of a little jarring, I think. The NFL has made the decision, because of the spiking of coronavirus numbers across the country, that it doesn't matter whether you have a positive test in your building. You've been moved into the intense protocols, irrelevant of your standing with anything to do with COVID-19. Well, you could have had zero positive tests all year. Doesn't matter. You're now in the intense protocols. So, Paul, how did you said it earlier, but I want to go deeper into it. How did it change travel for the Cardinals yesterday?
You know, at first glance, and I'm not in that inner circle of decision makers, obviously, there couldn't be anything that goes more unsaid than that. But for the most part, I think a lot of those protocols, enhanced protocols, are going into effect Saturday around the league. So, look, it was already very stringent, the travel and the way they conduct it. Masks are mandatory. Doesn't matter how long the flight is, thou shalt wear their mask. No mm-hmm. Gators, Wolf, wear your mask. And then, I mean, even things like, guys, even like, for example, on a typical road trip in the past, there'd be 5 team buses. There were 9 yesterday. So everyone's going to socially distance accordingly. And you see it all over the hotel. Honestly, I'm not sure there's anyone else in this hotel.
Oh my gosh.
They told me that I'm in this like mini ballroom meeting room thing right now. And I said, what if I'm the loud radio guy yelling and at 5 in the morning? They're like, nah, don't worry about it. There's nobody within 30 floors of you. It's like The Shining around here.
Well, Paul, I got to tell you, first of all, that is fantastic story. Secondly, it's been a long time, I think, since Jay Williams just dunked on somebody. But Jay Williams just dunked on you.
Oh, no.
Because Jay Williams just called in to the Coulter Automotive Group sports line. And Jay, priorities here. Why does ESPN think their television is more important than the Doug and Wolf show? I don't get that.
I don't know, guys. I'm so damn tired. I'm on 2 hours of sleep. So I get done with the draft last night, and then they're like, hey, let's do a Sports Center hit, and you're like, all right. They're like, so who won the draft? I'm like, wait, what? I don't know. I can't tell you. Like, give me a minute to assess what the hell just happened. We just ran through 65 picks in a span of 6 hours, and then I've been working this morning. But I got to tell you, man, things are moving in the right direction for Phoenix, though.
Well, you know
things
what?
Moving in the right
you
direction.
Got, you need to stay on that. That because there is the USA Today writer gave out one F. And that was to the Suns. And there are people saying no better than a D by taking Jalen Smith at 10. We love Chris Paul, but why do you say they're moving in the right direction just, 12 hours after the draft concluded?
Well, look, the Jalen Smith thing, I think he has talent. I think there's some upside. I'm not sure that's the pick I would have gone with. I would have gone with a Tyrese Haliburton. I would have gone with a Devin Vassell. Here's what I liked about it, is that you guys didn't have to give up a ton for Chris Paul. And people can say whatever you want from knowing CP3. He's still playing at such a high level. Now, it maybe doesn't put you guys in the stratosphere of winning a world championship. But, man, it does one thing. It keeps Devin Booker somewhat happy for a minute. Right? Like, Ricky Rubio, serviceable. I mean, CP3, a different type of leader, a different type of playmaker. You still have Mikal Bridges. You have Cameron Johnson. You have DeAndre Ayton. Like, it's a young team, but you can't tell me now. I wanted to watch every Phoenix game, even when they were in the bubble before that. But in the bubble was a different scenario. And now you add CP3 to that equation. I like the core of that team. I do like the core. And who knows what's going to happen with Houston? Who knows what's going to happen with some other younger teams? But Phoenix will be there. Like, that's going to be a playoff team. I don't care what anybody says.
Jay,
as long as CP3 and Devin stay healthy.
Jay, is Chris Paul's leadership style, is it still relevant in the NBA?
I think so, man. Like, well, if, like, these guys, here's the one thing I'll give him credit for that a lot of people you know, a lot of people go back to his James Harden time in Houston. You know, they were pulled hamstring away from getting to the world championship. Mm-hmm. Like, I think we have to remember that. Like, the narrative in Houston could have been so different if CP3 never got hurt being up in that series against Golden State. Mm-hmm. So I give him so much credit. You know how easy it would have been for CP3 after getting traded from Houston and then not working out with James Harden to go to OKC and pack it in?
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially think about who he was playing with. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, somebody that you know is going to be handed the keys to the franchise as they move forward because he has that type of talent. Dennis Schroeder, another point guard who can score, who demands playing time. It would have been easy for him to disrupt that chemistry and say, I'm not messing with you guys. I don't want to be here. I'm pissed off. I'm angry. But yet he did the complete opposite. Hence why Sam Presti and company were like, yeah, we'll move you to where you want to be closer. You want to be closer to your family? You want to be in a good situation with Devin Booker? Yeah, we'll move it. I think that speaks volumes about where his leadership is now compared to where it used to be, where it used to rub people the wrong way. He's evolved as a person, and I've watched it firsthand.
This is Jay Williams, one of the best Duke point guards ever, and a guy that was the heart and soul of last night's ESPN draft coverage. But I want to stay on what you said about Chris Paul, because based on Wolf's question, here's the one thing that I'm starting to realize and I don't understand. At what point do we stop talking about how many teams Jimmy Butler and Chris Paul have played for, and we start talking about what's wrong with the teams that didn't like the way those two lead? Because as soon as you get a team that accepts them, look where they go. And yet people like in Minnesota or Philly, opinionated statement here, that don't want to work as hard, suddenly they don't like Jimmy Butler. They don't like Chris Paul. I think the problem is with them, not with these two.
I mean, maybe I'm just cut from the cloth. Like, either you're on the bus or you're not. If you aren't, then we'll see you later.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so tired right now, guys, and yet I'm on the phone with you, right? Like, and I even tell you this. Like, this is kind of reminds me of CP3, right, a little bit. Like, so I'm doing First Take, and I'm having a brain fart moment. Like, I can't think, and we're in this debate about whether, you know, them picking with the second pick in the draft. I can't even think about his name right now. The second pick, James Wiseman,
uh-huh.
Right, is the right move. And I'm like, look, I would have taken LaMelo Ball.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we started talking about Andrew Bogut. And I was like, well, Andrew Bogut was a playmaker. He can shoot. And then in my mind, as I'm saying it, I'm like, wait, what am I? Andrew Bogut never shot? Like, what am I talking about? Right? Like, owning it and pushing yourself to be better. I think, come on, next segment, I was like, guys, I was wrong. Andrew Bogut was never a shooter. But, like, I'm still here. I'm still going. I'm moving forward. Like, that's what Jimmy Butler does. Like, I don't want to hear you say, oh, now I can't do the next segment because I just messed up, or mm-hmm. I'm too sensitive. Like, own it and move forward. Like, what happened with the Clippers once CP3 left? Like, think about the Clippers, too. Donald Sterling. What's happened to Blake Griffin? Where's he?
Yep.
What's happened to Blake? Like, DeAndre Jordan. Like, what happened to them? What happened to that core? Okay, like, Jimmy Butler. Like, I love Karl Anthony Towns, but, like, Andrew Wiggins. Like, where is he at? Like, you've had multiple teams. Like, that's not the answer. We're trying to get rid of him. Like, you know, we're having the same questions about Anthony Edwards. I think the first pick in the draft about, does he have love for the game? Like, we want to see the first pick, but does he love the game? You have to have a dire passion. I can tell you one thing. You may not like the way they love the game, but you never question whether Jimmy Butler or CP3 love the game.
Yeah. Amen.
And I'd much rather be coached hard than have somebody be like, hey, Wolf, are you feeling okay right now? Are you
Jay
okay?
Will, I have worked you so
I
much
make sure
on
I
that,
didn't
buddy.
Use sensitive words, Wolf. You know, I know that you're sensitive. I don't want to be led by somebody like that, not when I'm in the trenches.
It's
you
funny
know what
you
I mean?
Bring it up, because with Minnesota, I think they just added to another sensitive team.
No, it really is. I just wonder if hard coaching still has, if hard leadership still has any place in the NBA. I know that even in the game of football, Jay Will, that hard approach, I think, is a dinosaur. I think it's a dinosaur, and yet it was a foundational piece. It was a pillar of the game for decades. Dare I say
Wolf,
a century.
So you can say one thing about leadership that I think CPD didn't have is that, you know, are you adaptable? Do you know how to talk to different people who maybe get motivated differently?
Right.
But what happens is when you start to try to cater towards different individuals on your team, like it's hard to say, like sometimes when you're in battle, you know this, Wolf, like I don't have time to worry about the semantics of how I sound when I talk to you. Like, get your head out of your ass. You know what
yes.
I mean? Like, I need you to get your head back in the game. Like, we're in battle sometimes. And I think for CP3, I don't think he leads like a dinosaur anymore. Like, I saw Shai Gilgeous and him have a different type of relationship. Now, look, you're in the playoffs. I think that gave Shai Gilgeous a different barometer of, oh, like, yeah. I didn't know I have to be this ready. So I think for a guy like Devin Booker, who wants to take the next step in his career, you need somebody who's been battle tested to say, this is how you push through.
Jay.
This is how you need to push through. And this is where you need to take your game psychologically to get ultimately not to become one of these guys that just averages 25, 26, maybe a 30-point score in the league, but to be a champion. Like, this is how you need to start getting there, Devin.
Jay, your money, yeah, even when you're tired. Buddy. Thanks for finding a way to come on. We'll talk to you next week, my friend.
All right, boys. I'll
your
talk
nails.
To you guys.
God
have
bless,
a good day.
Man.
That's Jay Williams joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. You can go to coulternissan.com for your next new or pre-owned Nissan. Coulter Nissan is west of the hassle. Coming up next, our exclusive conversation with the general manager of the Phoenix Suns, James Jones. Why is Jalen Smith a Sun? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.